talked about those involved. God and who?
Noah.
Noah. Noah represents the whole race because he's the only one left. Except the other seven, but Noah is the head guy. Okay, well, let's go at the terms. The terms of the covenant. Can you guys find them, you think? I'll read some stuff to you. This is kind of interesting. Hebrews. Okay. Verses 1 and 7. What does it say?
Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the earth. Verse 7. As for you, be fruitful and multiply on the earth and increase upon it.
Yep. There's a couple things, though, guys, that are different here now. Look at John. Let's look at some of these. John 12:3. Oh, I'm sorry. I knew there was a 1 in there. John 12:31. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Okay, they had to repopulate the earth because we had a little incident in what was it? Remember this one? What was the incident? And it was an actual incident.
I'm sorry, say that again.
The earth had to be destroyed, and only 8 people survived.
Okay. It was a flood.
Yep. Yeah. But there was an incident in Genesis 6. That created this.
Oh, because we were bad.
What?
The wickedness of men.
Wickedness of men.
Oh, and the demon people were helping to populate.
Yes. It sounds like something out of a science fiction story. But actually happened. We talked about this last week where those demons. Now, wait a minute. We talked about this, so tell me what happened. You tell me. In detail. We'll start with Therese, because she already said something, so she got part of it. The demon people. Night of the Living Dead.
The demons were reproducing.
Yeah, they sent the women down.
Yeah. Which did what?
Demon child.
Yeah.
And we thought,
yes, and we thought a little bit about this, and we said maybe Greek and Roman mythology wasn't so far off. Yeah, I know. It's a weird thing. However, remember what we talked about with Satan and his selling the idea? Got nailed, and who got off? For that.
Demons got nailed, Satan got off.
Yeah, just like you see in
mobsters.
Every mob movie.
Monsters?
Just like you see mobsters. Just like you see in the head guy sends out the guys, they take the fall, and he gets off scot-free. Well, not really, but he gets off scot-free.
It still goes that way today.
What's that?
It still goes that way today.
Yes, it does.
They send the kids out to sell the drugs.
Yes, they do.
Uh-huh.
Drug ringleaders. Never get caught. By the time they turn 20, the same way with gangs. They can send a kid out, shoot somebody, they'll get out. Mary Davis, by the time they're age 20,
yep.
They've got a second hit with them.
Golly. And Mike, where do you think every evil thing that comes from the flesh, when you're looking at stuff like that, it's been learned because Satan is the father of lies. And so all they're doing, Daddy's doing.
And they're idolizing.
So, all right, good answers, man. So what happened to those demons that got nailed?
They died in the flood.
Well, they're sent to hell.
Yeah, they're
already down there.
Yep.
Oh.
They're the ones that are chained in the abyss, remember in Peter?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You read that? But the offspring died in the flood. Okay. I know, very weird. Weirdness.
So when it says here the giants of the there are giants in the earth in those days, is that the the guys, the demon guys?
It says Nephilim, and I'm not always so sure if the Nephilim represented that, or if that was just a genetic. There were giants after the flood. Goliath, mm-hmm. the sons of Anak. So that gene was in man. There was a big and tall gene in man.
But I wonder how tall these people were.
Well, Goliath was
9'9". 9'9", yeah.
But yeah, so if he seems to be a giant, were maybe man 4.5? I mean, not, you know.
Oh, I think, and this is just kind of a little side trail, but I think we were actually...
Don't know.
Nothing can be proven.
You just don't know.
But if you look back in the pioneer days, they were short.
The Indians were incredibly tall.
But you had the Cheyenne Indians who were
6'5".
Wow.
Very tall.
And then you had the Africans that were very tall. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's... And then this Goliath. I mean, Goliath wasn't like Andre the Giant. Andre the Giant was kind of... You know, he had that gigantism thing and going, and Goliath was 9'9" and was healthy and was fast. Hmm. Andre the Giant always looked uncomfortable in his body. Goliath wasn't uncomfortable in his body. He was a warrior. Hmm. And the Israelites, when they went into the land, that was one of their complaints, are giants in the land.
That's why I'm wondering how tall the Israelites really were.
Well,
yeah, because, I mean, when you
David
think of a giant, you think of somebody that's really, really big. So.
David was probably around, well, they said Saul was 6'5". Goliath was as tall as any Bigfoot. If you believe
that.
So
that ought to be a lesson to vegetarians.
Yes.
Because they changed, our diet changed from basically vegetable to where we picked out the demons during the flood. And yet you still had tall people. Today, where there are short people, it was a diet.
Bears eat salmon.
Yeah.
They get big. Let's look at these.
Whales eat fish.
Yes, they do. Plankton. Little dingy. Little dingy.
Look how huge they are.
That's appetizer.
God brought judgment on the earth. The earth was empty. 8 people were left. To do what? Repopulate. There's one command, though, guys, that is not there, and that's subdue the earth. Have authority. The reason is because when man fell, he lost his authority. Satan usurped it. And that part did not change from the Adamic covenant. So... John 12:31. Therese, why don't you read John 12:31? Kathy, take 2 Corinthians 4:4. And Jennifer, Luke 4:6. This is the state that we live under now.
Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out.
The God of this age would blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
The devil told him, I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, because they are mine to give to anyone I please.
That's scary, isn't it? Satan is the prince of this world, God of this age. Jesus did not dispute him about the kingdoms.
Because he knew it wasn't true, so why would he even go there? I mean, he's like, okay, well, whatever. You think what you want to do, but in the end, I'm going to take care of it.
Well, no, he did. Jesus knew that this was true. When he didn't dispute it.
The devil told him, I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, because they are mine to give to anyone I please.
Well, how can they be the devil?
Because back in the fall... If Adam was Zeus, when the fall happened, at that moment, he gave rise to this planet to the devil.
For whatever time, whatever purpose it served,
It's not like he took it from God. It's like...
Right.
He's just here, he can have this for a while.
Basically.
Yeah.
So what is the glory of kingdoms of the earth? Dust.
I know. And they're passing away. Mm. So all his stuff is his
temporal.
Is seashore land property of sand.
It's all temporal.
They're all sand castles. They're washing away all the time.
Because you're right. He's done what he's done, and but it's like this time. We have this time span here, and Satan has whatever freedom to do during this time what he's going to do. But
now notice who.
Because God allowed it to.
Notice who he offered them to.
Jesus.
Yeah. Did Jesus receive it?
Mm-hmm.
No. That scared. Because the first time that Satan did this, Adam fell. The second time he did this, didn't fall. Jesus didn't fall.
You would think that would make him stop and think for a second and just realize that, hey, you know what, it's not going to work.
Well, he did. He left. He turned around and left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Come back for another opportune time in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was praying. He was probably whispering to him, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do this.
Because he was trying to talk him out of getting crucified.
Well, you know, you wonder about that. It doesn't say that Satan was there. It just says that Jesus was under tremendous pressure because, really, I don't think the devil knew what was coming. Because he was the one that instigated the crucifixion.
But yet, he knew, I think he knew Christ was coming to be born.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he
did. And so he was doing whatever he could to
kill him,
circumvent that, to prevent that from happening, and then killing him, using the life.
How many times he tried to kill Jesus? Remember the baby?
The
firstborn?
Yeah.
Firstborn.
Yeah. Firstborn being killed in Bethlehem? Gotcha.
Even when... You know, Mary had to tell Joseph. What did Joseph want to do? Whoa. He wanted to get out of there.
Typical male reaction.
Well, heavy
and
duty.
Satan knew that adultery would allow him to stone her to death.
Yes.
And that would have stopped. But it didn't happen.
So he tried to kill him before, tried to kill him after, and then tried to kill him there. Luke 4:6. Where did he try to kill him here at?
On the mountain.
What do you
throw
say?
Throw yourself down.
Yeah. Throw yourself off the temple because it is written, his angels will give charge and they will not let your foot dash against the stone. Mm-hmm. Of course, if you look at that Psalm passage, he leaves a verse out.
So he knows the Bible as well as anything else, huh?
Yeah. He's like a Harvard professor on steroids.
So why does Satan doesn't love God, and why does he know the Bible so well?
To use it against us. The Bible, Christian, pseudo-Christian cult, they all have twisted scriptures.
They rewrite it.
Yep. Seventh-day Adventists, one is Pentecostalism, the Zygmunt of them, all cults. What's interesting here, guys, is Jesus said, but then... So Satan tried to kill him here, and then Satan thought he had the victory at the crucifixion. It was like that Carmen song. You ever listen to that Carmen song, The Champion? Ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Where the demon's like, he's counting backwards. 10, 9. What's going on? Why is he counting backwards? This is after Jesus is dead. You know, they out, and instead it started going 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. One. He's alive! No! And I always thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Guess I'm going to have to listen to the song.
Yeah. Listen to it. It's called The Champion. Read yours again, Therese.
Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out.
Ooh. Now see, we got some warning there, guys. This would be something that I had not prepared. It would be again, Kathy?
What for? The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
Okay, so, this is after the cross. He's still called this. However, there is a there's something that happened here also. There's a passage where's the passage where it says disarm the principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the grave. Is that Colossians? Got it? Would you like to read it, ma'am?
Yeah. 16?
Yeah. Well, read 14 and 16, too. 14, 15, 16.
Having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, and which was talked out, therefore let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day.
So, he has what? Having spoiled. To divest oneself completely, to despoil another one completely. To, strong term, to cause to sink out of sight. So what did Jesus do?
This would be a good little study.
I have the Message translation. It's kind of cool.
Go ahead.
It says, all sins forgiven, the slate wiped clean, that old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their shame authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets.
So, what are we looking at there? Anybody queasy at needles?
Well, now's a fine time to ask.
The only time to ask.
Thanks for warning.
Is he trying to, like, embarrass
him? He made a public spectacle. In other words, what a Roman and anybody who knew him understood what this meant. You would ride in on a white horse with all your enemies behind you, and they're humiliated. They're naked.
Ooh.
And they're all chained. Which is interesting, guys, because, I mean, let's think about this for a second.
Peace.
Think about this for a second. Remember, remember what was new now. What was new about demon possession and Jesus' name? Bird. See, you got to pick up things like that when you're reading through the Gospels and things, because they were very much amazed that he casts them out with a word. Prior to that, the Jewish exorcists, it was quite an ordeal to do anything with demonics. Evidence of that is all the demonics Jesus threw out when he was here. If the Jewish exorcisms had worked so well, why was there so many people that were demonically oppressed and possessed?
Because it didn't work.
It was Jesus came, he literally would say, "Be gone," and they would leave. And that would totally freak everybody out. And it was so impressive that we talked about a couple weeks ago, those seven sons and acts of a Jewish high priest.
They wanted to do it.
They tried to do it, mm-hmm. But they weren't believers, were they? And what happened?
Because they said, in the name of Paul, we cast you out. They didn't do it.
In the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. whom Paul believes.
Mm-hmm.
But we have that same power now.
Yes, we do.
We can say, in the name
yes,
of Jesus,
we do.
I cast you out.
Have to, in the name of Jesus, they have to listen.
So I could walk up to somebody that has a demon possession, and if I believe, I could say, in the name of Jesus, you're cast out.
If your faith is sufficient.
Talk about the prince of this world, and I think John 12:31. The phrase is something that I read every once in a while, is about how the curse of on this creation, like creation,
the groaning is kind of the little tremors, the earthquake tremors, and you know,
I mean.
We groan, our stomach growls.
Everything groans,
stuff,
yes. That's
know.
How creation groans. It's tornadoes, earthquakes, hurricanes.
The trees, you know, I'm sure, you know, as they grow, the bark kind of peels away. Not that, I mean, we're kind of personal fine.
Right.
Them,
but
in our minds. But,
yeah. But I try to, I think given what we're supposed to care about.
Yes, marching to war.
We're supposed to care for the earth.
Right. But even in that, I mean, it's just, it is, it's like wearing away, like our bodies are wearing away, in a sense, and Is it looking forward to when all this curse, I mean, it's just an interesting place, I guess.
Or even, you know, the dry, how hard and dry the earth is right now, and it's cracking because, you know, there's no moisture. I mean, you just think about a pot. I forgot to water them, and so Mike said they pulled away from the sides of the pot. And then like,
it's called compression.
And I know it. When I watered them, you know, it just kind of...
It's called expansion.
Thank you, Professor Mike.
No. But, I'm going to slap them later.
There's a scientific reason for almost everything.
But, you know, it got what it needed.
Well, I think what the Earth went through...
Oh, it's interesting, too, coming back around on this, guys, is, Therese, you had a great question. Why did he keep continuing to pursue the sinful course? I mean, Jesus rose from the dead. He saw that he was defeated. He knows the Scripture says principalities have been disarmed. He knows the effect that that has had.
He knows what's going to happen at the end.
But look what he does. Look what he does instead. He starts to develop his antichrists. As soon as Jesus rises from the dead, antichrists begin.
Don't you think, in his warped mind, whatever he can get, he's going to try and get?
Well, and that's what sin. Sin always makes you crazy.
Definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
But
yeah, because of that verse, because of that, that phrase right there, I've always...
But, you know, if there's two people, if he can keep one from going to Christ, he's one. I mean, you know, it's kind of like...
In his mind, he's
got,
one.
In his mind,
yeah.
He goes, I've got one.
Yeah.
One's better than none.
Well, look what eventually happens in Revelation 13. Revelation 13, 1 through 3.
Father of life, his character doesn't change. He doesn't change regardless of the outcome. Why would he change? Why would he try to get... He can't. He's the father of life. His course is still the same.
Yes?
Well, I was reading it, and it talks about...
It is like a Godzilla movie. this is symbolic stuff right at this point. We can't get into that. But have somebody read it. Who wants to read it? 1 through 3.
And I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads. Ten crowns, and his horns on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast.
Oh, so that's like all the antichrists that are supposed to show up?
Well, what's interesting about that is if you look in the book of Daniel...
You got to do Daniel with Revelation.
Yeah, you really do.
We're going to get a BSF one.
Yep, they're animals. The animals that they describe there are a leopard, a lion,
bear.
And a bear.
And a dragon.
And a dragon. You go back to Daniel.
But if you look at the horns, too, you're thinking of like a goat or a rhino or something because he had horns as well.
But those three animals are significant.
Bison, bull, whatever.
Because... You had the Medes, which were the bear.
What's Mede?
Medes and Persians.
Oh! I never even thought of that.
Yep. You had the leopard, or the...
Yeah.
Which was Alexander the Great, the Greek Empire. And the lion, which was the Babylonian Empire. So this beast...
So the dragon would be... Satan's
well, I think,
empire,
yeah,
I think
it's one step up from the iron thing from Daniel. The iron beast in Daniel was this beast with huge teeth and claws that would just crush everything. And it was the Roman Empire. That was the Roman Empire beast. It was the most powerful empire. And if you ever look at your Bible maps and see the conquering, you look at the Medes and the Persians, what they conquered, then you look at the Babylonians, what they conquered, then you look at Alexander the Greek, what they conquered, and then you look at Rome, what they conquered, it's like there's no comparison. Rome just took everybody out. This beast, and Daniel talks about this beast being from the crushing iron teeth beast that came out of Rome. So whoever this Antichrist is, he has the crushing power of Rome, he has the tombing power of a bear, he has the speed of a leopard, and he has the strength of the lion. So he's all of Satan's kingdoms put in one. And that's why it will say, who can stand against the beast? He's like German panzer divisions on steroids.
So basically, the book of Daniel is like in correlation with the Revelation.
Yes.
Right.
Dan Rev. That was a class at Moody. Actually, it was Dan Rev. But those beasts are significant.
Do a combination of Daniel and Revelation.
Not yet.
The devil has always had, I mean, John talks about this in John chapter 4, 1 John. In the book of 1 John, he talks about, and there are many antichrists that have come into the world. And so you look at that and you go, well, wait a minute, many antichrists? I thought there was one antichrist. Well, no, it's interesting, but it almost looks like the devil always, which one? And so he's always got somebody ready to go.
Well, yeah.
It's like he's practicing. Yeah. I mean, and I can't say that's what he's doing, but he's wicked, he's evil, and he's constant. I mean, you could look at Nero, you look at Napoleon. I mean, I know we're having a, there's always been somebody who's like a beast. Whether it's Genghis Khan, whether it's Titus of Rome, whether it's Napoleon, Hitler.
Obama.
Sorry.
She said Osama. Obama. That's silly.
Talking into the little microphone.
Yeah. And the black helicopters that are
free.
Well, I was going to say another person, but it's a Greek mythology. It's not real. It isn't a book. Just a person of the underworld or whatever.
Right.
Because we read a book.
So offers the kingdom to this individual, and that individual takes it. He runs with it. Okay, second.
So technically, you can really sell your soul to the devil.
This guy does. It's like a bottle of whiskey. Whiskey will give you something, but it will also take from you. Sure, Satan gives him all the kingdoms of the world, and he takes them. But it's only for 3.5 years. That he's thrown the next 3.5. The next 3.5 is no piece of cake for the Antichrist. It's not like he's that first 3.5 years everything's going great, right on. You know, he's saying, but then the next 3.5, there's asteroids hitting, there's these bugs coming out of the pit, there's wars, there's darkness. It's not a good time. And then after that, he's thrown alive into the lake of fire. Is Satan thrown in the lake of fire, though? Yeah.
Not yet.
See, once again, there you go. He has his lackeys, has his angel demons in Genesis chapter 6 that take the fall. And now this Antichrist and the false prophet, they take the fall. They actually enter the lake of fire before anybody ever, even before Satan. Satan gets to last another 1,000 years. That's thrown in the abyss. And then he's let loose, and then he's thrown into the lake of fire where the beast and the Antichrist, where the beast and the prophet are.
Why does he let him loose? Why doesn't he just throw him
in? Well, second bell hasn't rang. Second. Let's do second really quick here, guys. What's the second part of this covenant? Yep. What is it? Animal fear!
What does that mean?
Animal fear.
Animals
well,
fear us.
Yes, they do. Look at verse 2. Somebody read verse 2 real quick. Oh, that little.
And the fear. Go ahead,
read it together.
We could go together.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand.
Now, I like what this author says here. It's kind of funny.
but he says the fear of man was put into animals and man was to dominate them. While man had lost his authority over the earth, he was still to dominate and have authority over the animal kingdom. That's why PETA is not right. It's just, I mean, come on.
Well, there's the PETA, there's the people for the PETA, the animals.
That's the good PETA.
That's the good PETA.
I'm not sure if
the other
day it says it's okay to hug a tree as long as you're climbing up to your deep
tree. Yes.
That's good.
Funny.
Okay. I like that one.
Now, what's interesting, though, guys, about this fear that's there, the fear was placed in animal because it's a means of self-preservation. It's so that we can survive. Because all the animals are armed for your destructions. Elephants can stomp you. Tigers can bite you. I was watching an epic last night on tigers and the bears. Bears can squish you. You know how...
Mosquitoes bite you, though.
Mosquitoes bite you.
Yeah.
Tigers.
And they give you
tigers.
Disease.
Front canines are that long. Oh my goodness.
What is it?
They're front
tigers.
Canines. Tigers.
Tigers.
They're 4 inches
tang.
Long.
Yeah.
And they, dude, that would just bite a hole right through you. A tiger can jump 30 feet in the air, vertical.
Like up?
Up.
Jump in our bedroom window!
You would not win a fight with a tiger. I don't know how David did it. It wasn't a tiger, it was a lion, but still, I don't know how the dude killed the lion. I keep sitting there and I go, he grabbed its beard. Like that's the animal weakness we don't know about.
Like,
when you grab a tiger's, a lion's
they
beard, they go, grrr, and they can't go. Which exposes the back of the head, and then you go, bark.
Well, you try and let
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I had
I'm
a
like,
baby.
How do you
about you in the paper?
I had a 3-month-old cat lion club grab
bite
me and
butt.
Bite me in the butt
yeah.
When
just
my first was two, and I was like, yow! And they hurt. I mean, they're razor sharp, and they sink in.
Little kitty kind of.
I was going to say, yeah, little kittens
little
hurt.
Oh, yeah, they
let
can
let alone a tiger or a lion.
Skin right off, yeah.
That's why I call those little angle biters.
There's a reason.
Get anywhere else.
Okay, well, that's it. There's a fear of man, and that's so man survives, because the next diet, is the next one is, the third one is diet, and that means things are going to be eating meat now.
But we're afraid of them, too, aren't we?
Yeah, but you know what, though? It's so crazy, three is... And you almost got to be a hunter to see this.
I don't hunt.
Even a sow bear that is protecting its cubs is afraid of you.
Like last night?
Now, if that... Just think if you were a deer and you walked up to a sow bear. Eyes a sow bear. Would he be afraid of the deer?
No.
No. You try to eat the deer. If the fear of man was not in us, wherever we would go, animals would be trying to eat us.
Like birds.
Even birds.
Where'd you get
the worst?
Well,
the
fear today.
Uh-oh.
Fear
of
man.
Oh, no.
Oh, the fear of man and the animals.
So, like, the bears last night, they got really close to the guy, and the little cub was, like, standing up.
Do you know why they didn't attack the guy?
Why?
Because they were comfortably afraid.
Because they're in a place where people don't come and like...
Well, no, they were still afraid.
Yeah.
They didn't see man as food. They saw man as... I'm not sure about this. But when they do see you as food, you don't survive.
She looks good.
Yeah, those little babies come from the babies like stuff, and it's like, ah, I'm like... Guy,
that's why in areas like where they allow hunting, for example, California banned hunting for mountain lions. Mountain lion attacks erode. They're still wary of you, but they no longer know, or somehow they sense after several generations that you won't do anything.
Right.